In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. Lord, at last thine angels come, to Abraham's bosom bear me home, that I may die unfearing. And in its narrow chamber keep my body safe in peaceful sleep until thy reappearing. And then from death awaken me, that these mine eyes with joy may see, O Son of God, thy glorious face, my Savior and my fount of grace. Lord Jesus Christ, my prayer attend, and I will praise thee without end. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is interesting that this journey which we make here upon this earth has much to, attracts us so much to this life. There are so many elements that pertain since our own birth to attract us, to pull us into the demands of our daily life upon this earth. We find this as we deal with things that we deal with in life, our tragedies, our successes, our problems, our circumstances, trying to prepare for our examinations, trying to prepare for family needs, dealing with situations within the family. When you become a pastor, you'll notice that you'll be dealing with a lot of situations in people's lives. All these particular elements have a tendency to attract us to this particular life and its needs, to allow the course, the elements of this life to motivate our own decisions in which we make. We're also people of time. We are born within time. The element of time is that everything has its beginning and its end. When we wake up in the morning, we know that this day will die within the bosom of the night. We know that everything has its own beginning and its own end according to our own experiences. We know that when a child is born into this world, no matter how hidden from our eyes, that someday that child will die. We who only know life, or as King Solomon says, that God has put eternity into our hearts, see death as unwelcome and an odd guest within our own lives, beyond our own experiences, for none of us have personally experienced death, beyond our own expectations, but beyond our own experiential contemplation. We are in bondage of time. It draws us to this life. It draws us to the circumstances of this life. Therefore, in this life, we also tend to fight to stay alive because of our own person, of our own being. We are drawn to the battles of this life to beat time, expectation, and Weinrich's tests. So often this life is where we begin to define life from below. We define our conduct, our priorities, our attitudes by this life's expectations, demands. We begin to define life from below, blinded by our experiences and our ability to grasp those things of eternity, those things from above, bound to time, bound, destined to death. Thus we face the battle within this life with some gravity that continues to pull us to the needs of this particular life. Having been a parish pastor and a hospice chaplain, been at many bedsides of the dying, of the sick and dying, a witness of this fallen need to define life from below. It shapes us, it draws us from life's demands, successes and tragedies. The intention to preserve this early life that we all know so well. We are attracted like gravity to this life, kind of like the people of Israel as they journeyed out of Egypt. They faced the Red Sea, they faced the desert. They desired to be once again a slave than to face those kind of temptations that exist before the coming of the Egyptian soldiers. So it is also within our own life. When I was I was at the hospital one day during a pastoral visit. I was called into a room where a grandpa and a father had just early slipped and fell at home upon some steps and had died. I went to the back room where the grandpa or the father was with one, and I was with one of the daughters. While back there, the daughter asked me the question. She goes, "My daughter had prayed that grandpa would live, but he died. Doesn't God answer our prayers?" Sometimes a difficult question. Does not God answer our own prayers? If we understand this prayer from below, we can most certainly say that God has failed. God has not answered our prayers, has not answered the daughter's prayers. But if we were to answer the question from above, that is the nature and very character of life that is not defined by our own circumstances or situations life, but by God himself through his son, Jesus Christ, we can say, that mother can say to the daughter, "Yes, your prayer has been answered. Christ has come to your grandpa and has given him the healing power of both body and soul by his blood. He has given him life and salvation now forevermore." It is interesting that by the nature of our prayers and our own worship that we can become so earthbound and not think of the life which has been delivered and defined and given to us from above. I always notice that when students come to me and ask me questions, I remember the popular one was the Beatitudes, and they would say, "Well, I don't understand, how do I write a sermon on the Beatitudes, where the law and the gospel and so on?" And how quickly, when we look at texts within the scriptures, we think about ourselves. We think about ourselves. But we quickly come to the conclusion that the scripture is not talking about ourselves, but the Christ. It is talking about Christ who has fulfilled the law. We are so defined by our own cultures and circumstances in our life that we must continue to hear the law and the gospel to come to us, to remind us of that heavenly life in which God has most graciously given to us. For if God, in fact, is the creator of this world and is the sustainer of our own life, it is he who defines the boundaries and the borders of life. It is he who defines the quality and the value and the worth and identity of who we are and the life in which has been given to us. Just as we hear in Psalm 46, "God is our refuge and strength, the very help in every trouble, and I will not fear." And in verse 10 it says, "Be still and know that I am God." Or Jesus, who says within his prayer in John 19, he goes, "This is eternal life, the essence of life, that they may know you and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." If life is not seen from above, then Jesus is truly a failure. He raises Lazarus from the dead, but Lazarus will once again naturally die. He heals the mute, he heals the paralytic. But quickly we learn that it is not about the elements from below, but it is a sign for that which comes to us from above, namely in Christ Jesus. In Matthew chapter 9, we see this quite clearly with Jesus healing the paralytic. He says, "Which is easier, say your sins are forgiven, or take up your mat and walk?" That is to say that what we see here in the healing from below does not define from above, but it is an expression that life in which we have received from above through the blessed Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The psalmist knew this all so well, as it says again, "Be still and know that I am God." God is the one who gives definition and meaning of life, not our faith, not our piety, not our choices, not in those things that are good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and something to make us wise from below. Well, this is the reason, before our text today, in the face of the healing of this crippled man, Peter says, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk?" In today's reading, the leaders and the people are possessed with the healing of this man. Peter draws the people's attentions from this crippled man to the greater understanding of this great healing that is found within the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, but not any Christ, the Christ who has died and rose again for the forgiveness of sins. It is here within the face of death that we witness life. In the face of our Lord's humility, he has given us glory. It is a faith in the face of death and life, in the face of the crucifixion, that we know who we are and what we have become. We are defined by the cross. It is the very centric hinge of our own faith. It is the place in which we understand true healing of both body and soul. Christ, who came in time to free us of time to all eternity. Today we become, in Christ, eternal creatures. We see the restoration of humanity, the nature of which God has intended his creation to live together for all eternity. Therefore, when we hear of God's activity with us, we understand that we are defined not from below, but by God's divine service, his divine activity towards us. This is the meaning of life. Jesus says is the blood of the New Testament. The New Testament, which is in my blood, gives definition and meaning of what we have become. Let us therefore, dear Christians, understand this divine gift from above. Let us not be overcome by the elements of this world, but let us understand who we are for the life which has come from above, that we may have the certain hope of life eternal, the true health for all eternity. In the name of Jesus, amen.